good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley with your host, Surjeet Atwal, right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a very special guest for you, the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions for the Government of British Columbia, Sheila Milkinson. Thank you for joining us. I have the great privilege and honor to be joined by Minister of Mental Health and Addiction, Sheila Milkinson. Thank you, ma'am, for joining us. I know you're super busy, so thanks.
Thank you for the invitation.
How much difference in the opiate crisis do you believe the new government policy that allows people to keep small amounts of certain drugs in their possession makes in the bigger picture?
Thank you for the question. We know that substance use is a public health matter, not a criminal justice one. We know that criminalization has led people to hide their drug use and use drugs alone. And given how the drug supply has become so much more toxic because of the pandemic, this is particularly dangerous and fatal. So decriminalization will break down the barriers that prevent people from getting connected to those life-saving healthcare services that we've been building up. And we've heard again and again that it is the fear of criminalization that makes people hide their drug use. Often family and friends don't know that they're struggling. Maybe it's pain management. Maybe it is a childhood trauma. Whatever it is that drove people to hide their pain, to cover up, you know, to medicate themselves, it is life-threatening right now. So for us to decriminalize small amounts of illicit drugs, it is something that will then remove the barrier to people accessing those healthcare resources. This is, you know, so we're doing two things at the same time as a government. One is building up the mental health and substance use services that did not exist when we took government in 2017. We're making historic investments. We're adding hundreds of treatment beds. We're adding all kinds of interventions that can keep people safe. But if someone is ashamed of their drug use, they won't reach out for those supports. And so that is the important part of how decriminalization intersects with building that healthcare system and building that system of support.
What other policies do you believe need to be implemented to bring the opiate crisis under control in British Columbia?
Yeah, given the terrible loss of life, we need to do everything that we can to save lives from toxic drug poisonings. And just as there are many paths into addiction, there are many paths out. And so we need to build, there's no one single magic bullet for this. We need to invest and to build a system of care across the entire continuum of care. So every year, more than $2.8 billion is spent across government that goes to mental health and addiction services. And in addition to that, what is underway and what is ahead of us is our introduction of Prescribed Safe Supply in March 2020. We have expanded it just last summer. This is the first province in Canada that someone can be prescribed safe supply as a way to separate them from the toxic drug supply. We've also added new treatment and recovery supports for adults and for youth, hundreds of new adult beds, and we're doubling youth treatment beds. Another innovation, the only place in Canada where we, British Columbia, has enabled registered nurses to prescribe addiction treatment medications. That's particularly important for rural and remote areas where they might not have access to a doctor. We've also built more access to low and no cost counseling, also added 12 new foundry centers for youth across the province. They have substance use and mental health services built into them. We've also established rapid access addiction clinics to connect people to a diverse range of medication treatment options. Abbotsford, Chilliwack, you know, a number in the Valley that we've implemented already, along with Fraser Health. We fund them through Fraser Health. More of that to come. And also urgent primary care centers across the province where people can get connected to mental health and addiction treatment support. So all of those supports, again, linked to decriminalization by, you know, we build the new healthcare supports and then we remove the stigma through decriminalization, which people then feel more comfortable. Same as if they have diabetes, you know, or cancer, anything that would require them to come into the healthcare system. We remove that shame and stigma about substance use so that people can also come forward and access this wide range of supports we're building up. There's a lot more for us to do. And that's the focus every day of expanding those approaches.
Do you believe the COVID-19 pandemic made the opiate crisis worse?
Yeah, absolutely. In two ways. One is that the drug supply, illicit street drug supply, has become increasingly toxic. We did see a reduction in the loss of lives in 2019, the first time that that we did see the numbers start to fall. And that continued into the first 2 months of 2020. But as soon as the pandemic measures were brought in, then the toxicity of the drug spiked and the loss of life spiked. So partly is it about it was about interruption of international supplies and the fact of illicit drug supply, and that more dealers started manufacturing their own increasingly toxic drugs here at home, but also that more people were isolated and using drugs alone and alienated from supports. And, you know, and using drugs alone means, because the overdose can inhibit a breathing, that people just so sadly died alone. And that's what we're up against. And that's, again, why decriminalization is important, because it works to remove that stigma that has led to such of a loss of life.
As you know, the pandemic has also affected people's mental health. What kind of policies is the government of BC working on to introduce, to bring in, to help people deal with that crisis?
Yeah, it's been such a hard time. You know, people have been very badly affected by the COVID, the toxic drug emergency, climate-related emergencies, terrible weather events. There has been a lot of pressure on a lot of people, and demand for mental health and substance use of services is increasing. More people are reaching out for help. And that's why we made in our 2021 budget $500 million expansion of resources in addition to the $2.8 billion that we spend every year. That included providing funding to 49 community counseling agencies that expand access to low and no cost mental health and substance use counseling. Mostly they're no cost. And it's a great variety of counselors and community organizations all across the province. 34,000 people have accessed a counseling session funded by this program since we began. Also, since the pandemic began, we've invested more than $30 million for other mental health and addiction supports and services. We moved in an unprecedented way supports that went online so that people didn't need to be in-person sessions. That was really important, again, for rural and remote providers. We also really expanded the Foundry Youth Center program. That moved virtual, and Foundry BC is now an app that young people ages 12 to 24 can download and get access to same day or next day counseling. And if you can call 1-833-FOUNDRY, but also Foundry BC app is really available to everybody. We also expanded suicide prevention programming for post-secondary students. We also added the Here to Talk program, which is 24/7 support for post-secondary students who we were hearing were under particular stress as a result of the pandemic and their pressures of their studies. There are some just very, very tough stories that had happened where there had been loss of life. And that's, again, something that is unprecedented in Canada, that we have this 24/7 counseling for post-secondary students. So like all elements of the work that my ministry is doing, adding a diversity of supports informed by people on the ground, informed by people with lived experience, so that we are able to meet people where they are and be able to connect them with the care that they need and that they deserve.